Heroes are hard to find nowadays. Heroes that help guide the way through difficult times and circumstances, that help us lift the load. We've been in a series called Heroes of the Faith. This is our seventh in that series. We're going to complete that this morning. We look to today our men and women, our first responders, those who are in the military, men and women in the military, those who are on the police force, sheriff's departments. And we're so grateful. Anybody grateful for your first responders? Thank God for what they do. And Pastor Carl absolutely loved being a chaplain with them he would come home and tell stories about things they'd done. Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry would go to the annual dinner that they would have. And it was a time where it used to be they would talk about all the great things individuals had accomplished that year, and most of the people didn't know things were going to be shared, but the stories were fantastic. We've got so much to be grateful for, and thank God for them. Used to be, and I'm not going to go into this very deeply, but it used to be you might be able to find heroes among the politicians. I say used to be. Used to be that we felt they were people of character and integrity, and of course some are. And a lot of them, in fact, all of them need our prayers. According to the scriptures, we need to be praying for those in authority, our president, the vice president, the Congress, the Senate. We need to be in prayer for these people that they would have wisdom and hit their knees. That's what we all need to be praying for. They'll hit their knees, come to a place of repentance and finding that the Bible is indeed the word of truth, and conduct our lives and nation thereby. Hard to find heroes. There are no perfect people. Anybody say amen? Amen? There's only a perfect God and a perfect Lamb of God who took our sins upon himself. And thank God that he did. And by the blood that cleanses us, the blood of Jesus, we can become heroes in the faith to our families, our children, our grandchildren. And I believe this world and people all around us need to see people who know how to be forgiven, who know how to hit their knees, who know how to humble themselves, who know how to understand that Jesus is Lord and that the Bible is truth, and then walk that way. How many know there are a lot of people who know what Christians are against more than what Christians are for? And we need to be known for what we're for loving Jesus and loving people and being with them in the trenches. And we know about the famous in the Hall of Faith. We've been talking about them over the last many weeks. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 11. What a tremendous chapter about the heroes in the Hall of Faith. And you understand Hebrews 11 is sandwiched by Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 10, the Lord says, he is not pleased with those who turn back. Having begun this walk, if you turn back, the Lord is not pleased with you. And then you go to Hebrews 12, and the apostle who's writing, I believe it's Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says, and you have not yet resisted temptation to the place of blood. You've not stood against sin so strong that it's cost you everything like it did for Jesus. How many have paid the total price Jesus paid? No, we couldn't, could we? Thank God that he did it. But then, so you've got context. You've got don't give up, and you haven't gone through as much as Jesus went through. And then he takes us to Hebrews 11, where he says, but here's a whole bunch of men and women in the faith that you can look to as examples, who can encourage you. Turn to each other and say, you and I both need some encouragement in the Lord. And thank God for those who encourage us in our walk with God. And that's what the scripture is all about in Hebrews 11. Now I'm going to quickly run through, because we're going to a certain section this morning. I'm going to quickly run through. You'll see the scriptures up here. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And we've talked in previous weeks about Enoch and Abel, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. But Hebrews 11, 17, by faith, Abraham. Hebrews 11, 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Hebrews 11, 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the three sons of Joseph. Hebrews 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. He looked down through the corridor of time and he said, Israel, you're not always going to be servants in the land of Egypt. You take my bones with you when the Lord brings you out. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. Hebrews 12, or 11 rather, verses 23 and 24. By faith, Moses, what a powerful man of faith for us to see as an example. He identified with his people and he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, the Bible says. And it meant the Jews were God's chosen people by faith and they believed in a Messiah to come. Here we are on this side of the cross and we believe in the Messiah who came. But in the Old Testament, they believed on a Messiah who was to come. And they had faith, and we all exercise faith in that Messiah whom we know as Jesus. Just so much was done by Moses as he brought them into the Passover as the Lord instructed him. And he led people out of Egypt and he led them through the Red Sea. So many things done. And Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31 of Hebrews 11, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish. She had faith that God was going to bring deliverance and victory to the Israelis over those who were in Jericho. In that land. Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 34. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. He says, the writer says, there's not enough time to tell you about all these stories. By faith, they subdued kingdoms and they worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword and from weaknesses were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens who were the enemies, of course. These are the big names in the Hall of Faith. There are so many. You know, come on, give a few names that aren't in the list. A few names from the Old Testament. Some of the famous people. Okay, Daniel. How about Daniel? Daniel's not there. Thank you for suggesting. Oh, I hear Isaiah. Yes, I heard that. Oh, thank you. Joshua. Yeah, there are a lot of people in the Old Testament. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I tell you, your faces went. But, you know, these are the big names in the Hall of Faith. And sometimes, come on, can you be honest with me? Sometimes you look at these people and you go, man, those are incredible stories. And yeah, sure, they're inspirational, but I could never be like them. Does anybody ever feel like that? Come on. Three people are honest with me this morning. We should all be, yes, Pastor Kevin, we all feel like that. We live life in the trenches. And sometimes the trenches are not easy places to be. And I just can't reach that far sometimes. So God is faithful to us who don't feel like we can reach that far. And he tells us about a whole other group of people as we complete our series on heroes in the Hall of Faith. We think, I don't have enough faith. And we wait for goosebumps to hit us before we feel like we're really anointed. And sometimes all we get instead of goosebumps are pimples. But the scripture tells us, and the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up. Don't turn back around. Remember, the Hebrews had come far enough down the road. The whole context there, they'd come far enough down the road. They were saying, man, we see a temple over here that for thousands of years the Jews have worshipped. And they got a corner on the God market. We followed Jesus into this faith thing. And now all of a sudden he's gone. We don't see him. Most of the early apostles are gone. And we are living in the fires of persecution. And sometimes, church, in America and around the world, there are more martyrs, did you know, in the 20th and 21st centuries than in all of the other centuries combined, Christians being killed for their faith. Sometimes it feels like fire and people don't like us and we're not popular and it's not easy and I feel put down by my family. Sometimes, and so they considered, should we go back? Should we? I mean, maybe this isn't all it's cracked up to be. Maybe this Jesus stuff, you know, I can't see him. I can't always touch him. And I got pimples, not goosebumps of faith. And okay. I've milked that as much as I can, haven't I? All right. Don't turn back. Watch this. What do we need to do? We need to stir up our most holy faith. Come on, turn to each other and say, stir it up, baby. Come on, say it again. Stir it up, baby. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Watch this at a different translation. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, New American Standard. I remind you, the apostle says, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Watch this out of the NIV. I want you to fan into flame the gift of God. I love that. A couple of other versions you may not have heard of. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. I want you to keep ablaze the gift of God. Turn to each other and say, burn on.
Burn on.
The Aramaic Bible in plain English says, I want you to rouse the gift of God that is in you. Take that stirring motion. Come on, motion with me this morning. I'm going to stir up the gift of God. Turn to each other and say, you better stir a little harder. Going to stir up the gift of God. But we don't always relate to the famous Hall of Faith. How about the not so famous Hall of Faith? What about those? People not on the top, but on the trenches in life. Listen to their story. They were tortured. Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were, what's the word? Tortured. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a what? A better resurrection. Come on, Pastor Kev, that's really encouraging as we're looking to be built up in our faith. You're talking about torture? Well, look at the context. Jesus is trying to say, don't give up. There are a lot of people who have given everything. I'm going to encourage you. Keep going. Keep giving. Keep running. Keep walking with God. He's with you and people have gone before you. They were tortured. The Greek word is, this is a fascinating word, you guys, in the Greek, tympanizo. Can you say it with me? Tympanizo. And it's like the word used for a drum. Have you ever heard of timpani? Timpani. Like stretching a head on a drum. Literally, this word, they were tortured, means they were stretched on an instrument of torture resembling a drum and then beaten to death. You ever stop long enough to go, I haven't suffered that much. I haven't been through that much. Now, I'm going to be graphic here with you, but so you understand the context of what this is about here, what it's saying. Nearly all the Jews to whom this was written understood the stories of the Maccabees. You remember the Maccabees and the Hanukkah celebration that comes from their life, and we've talked about it before. But the Maccabean martyrs were tortured in a wide variety of ways, guys. They were scalded to death. They had their skins stripped away. The Assyrians were notorious for doing that to Israel, by the way. They were stretched out on a wheel and so forth. The regular torture practice of the Greeks included fire and thumbscrews and probably what is meant here by the word tortured. They were stretched on a wheel to break that person's joints. And then they were beaten to death, sometimes pounding the stomach as if it were a drum. You see how pregnant that word is, tympanizo. And they were beaten to death in that helpless position. Why? Because they love Jesus. All because they love Jesus. The Maccabean martyrs were scourged, a punishment that Romans kept, you recall, down through history, and then they scourged Jesus. All Jewish sources that addressed this issue agreed that the martyrs would receive preferential treatment in the resurrection. And 2 Maccabees declares that this was the hope that enabled the martyrs to endure. And you go to the book of Revelation. Remember the whole part about the people beheaded for the cause of Christ? And Jesus says to them, just hang on a little bit longer. And he promises them their solution, their retribution, their peace, their answer is coming. It's powerful, isn't it? These didn't accept deliverance. They weren't ransomed. Their faith didn't bail them out. They died for Jesus. Come on, Pastor Kevin, what are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about the real in the trenches stuff. Sometimes we don't get bailed out in life. Did Jesus abandon you? Did he abandon you when you don't get bailed out?
No.
But it feels like that, doesn't it? Come on, I said, let's look at some people who live in the trenches, and it's kind of like where we live sometimes. You wonder why things happen, and we don't know. But Jesus still loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Some people believe if you suffer, you must just not have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. And if you're really a true Christian, you won't go through any of that at all. Why, you should all have Cadillacs in your garage. And some people followed that teaching and then had the Cadillacs repossessed. It's all right to claim what God claims. Name what God names. But it's not true that if you're suffering, and you're one of those here this morning where life is a little heavier on the load than you feel you can pick up, like that little kid with the weights, it's not true that Jesus isn't with you or that he's abandoned you. Sometimes Jesus has a different purpose for you and me. Remember, Peter's kind of like us. I get real encouragement out of Peter. He's kind of blustery and blows it sometimes, you know. And I think the Lord keeps that example in there just for me. but the Lord turns to him and he says, you know, this is where you're going here, Pete, and this is how you're going to end up. It's going to be a tough ending. And Peter's just like us, isn't he? He goes, okay, but what about John? Isn't that real?
That's right.
And Jesus said, it doesn't matter. You just walk with me and we'll take care of John. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I do know that Jesus loves you, and that he cares, and that he hasn't abandoned you. And if you're suffering and if you're going through difficulty, it's not because you're not walking with God. Now, could it be?
Yeah.
Could it be sin?
Yep.
Is it always?
Nope.
You need to ask him. But overall, God's people go through sufferings sometimes. And some people, you know people yourself. Come on, maybe it's even yourself here in this room. There are pains that don't get healed. There are people in pain and difficulty. If it's only good things that happen to God's people, then when difficulty comes, those same people feel rejected by God. And that's just not true according to the Scripture. God's people suffer. And it teaches us a lot of things. Okay? They were tortured. Number two, they had trial. Hebrews 11, verses 36 and 37. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. The word trial in the Greek means a piercing, literally a test. Mockings and scourgings come to these people who are saints, who have gone on before us, and it pierces through them. And the word mockings is derision. And scourging is with a whip or even disease that can come. They face shackles. They were put in prison. They were beaten. On top of that, they were stoned or they were sawn in two. Tradition, we don't know, but tradition says Isaiah was running from King Manasseh in his wicked state and hid out in a hollowed out tree, and Manasseh had his men cut the tree in half, and Isaiah was in that. Whether true or not, some of God's people face tough ends. Come on, Pastor Kev, give me a little encouragement. Give me a poem, send me home. But there's something here that the Lord wants us to understand about the depth of life. They were tempted. Hebrews 11, verse 37. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute and afflicted. They were tempted. Literally, the word in the Greek means to test. It was an endeavor to scrutinize, to entice, to discipline these Christians. Consider those of us who at times want to give up because Jesus didn't come through exactly like we wanted him to. Consider those who've gone before. Can I ask an honest question? Has Jesus come through for you exactly like you want him to every time? Did you learn more in the suffering than you might have had he come through? If you respond to the Lord, yes. I know it's not fun to listen to, but These folks are in the Bible, and they're unsung heroes of the faith that we need to pay attention to. Some of those in the churches of Revelation, as we spoke about the letters to the churches, they were told if they didn't worship the emperor, pinch some incense, and throw it on the altar of worship, they couldn't go to the agora, they couldn't buy, they couldn't sell. They were kicked out of the synagogues, which means they were ousted from their families and had no way to make a living, and there's nothing much they could do except trust Jesus. They were tormented, it says. By the way, they wandered. They wandered penniless. And I just want to make a statement here. They loved not the world and loved not their lives to the death. Doesn't the Bible say that? Love not the world or the things of the world? They didn't sell themselves out for pyrite. How many know what pyrite is? Come on, say it. What it is? What is it, Michael? Fool's gold. They didn't sell themselves out for the fool's gold of the world's provision. But they bought true gold, holiness, passed through the fire of testings. They were tormented. Hebrews 11, 37 and 38. They were tormented of whom? Say it with me, please, and I want you to boom it out because this is the name of the message and it's what it's all about. Of whom the world was not worthy. Say it again. Of whom the world was not worthy. Say it again. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They were maltreated is literally what that Greek word means. They were literally ridden so hard by their enemies of their souls that they were tormented. And we are worried when some of our rights get trounced a little. And we demand other people to come through because, after all, I have my rights. And if I don't have enough provision, I'll steal it from somebody who does and I'll call it current day thinking. And I want what you got and I don't want to suffer because, after all, suffering is not a happy message. They went to dens and caves and caverns and hiding places. You've all heard of the catacombs. What does the Lord say? The Lord says the world couldn't touch these people. Of whom the world was not worthy. God looks down on these precious saints of His who He sees suffering and going through difficulty. And He says, son and daughter, I love you with everything within me. I love you. I care. I have not forgotten you. I know you are there and I know what you're going through. You're mine. The world may not throw a parade in your honor. It may not festoon you with gifts and clothing and cars and it may not give you everything that you long for, but I'll give you me. And in the night seasons, when the pain is there, so is He. We may not always feel Him near. Sometimes we feel not the goosebumps, but the... But He's there. Of whom the world, not worthy, the cosmos, the world system can't hold a candle to them. Moses was encouraged in his faith because he chose to suffer with the people of God rather than get the riches of Egypt. These people chose Jesus no matter what the cost, at the risk of their lives here on earth. They saw the heavenly city that was to come, New Jerusalem. They wanted Jesus. They wanted His promises. And they kept going. They weren't enamored with the world. With the fool's gold. The world. World's not worthy of these people. The world didn't deserve them. The world didn't offer them praise. But Jesus praised them for all of eternity to see. He says, they're mine. They're jewels in my crown, if you will. They held to Jesus in their very last breath. You know, you read just incredible things when they were slaughtering the Christians in the Colosseum. They would vie. They would argue with one another as Christians for the opportunity to go next. It's all a different world, isn't it? A different life because we so treasured this life. And Jesus says, I want you to live for me in this life, but know that I'm your treasure. In America, we think we've missed God instead of seeing a trial shapes our character. Now, I have something else to say to you. I want you to turn to each other, and I want you to say, you are the rest of the story. Come on, say it out again, real loud, boom it out. You're the rest of the story. You're the rest of the story. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 through 40, out of your own Bible, 39 through 40. And I want you to hear the conclusion of the matter as the Lord wraps this subject up. And all these, verses 39 and 40 of Hebrews 11, having obtained a what? A good testimony through what? Through faith, did not receive the promise. Wait a minute. Then they're not Christians. No. They're Christians who didn't get the whole enchilada right at that time. Because verse 40, and I want you to read it out loud with me, please. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The apostle is saying to this shaken and discouraged and disheartened people in Hebrews, for whom nothing is happening fast and the sufferings are intense and the persecution is hard. And he's saying to them as the body of Christ, hang on, because a great new day is coming. You may not always see it in this life, but hang on, and I'll be the God who is with you in your turmoil and in your trouble and in your temptation and in your torture. And I'll be the God who is with you when you feel tormented. And someday you're going to see me face to face, and you'll know that this short life on earth is not all it's wrapped up to be. But life is eternal with Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who gave his life for you and me, the one who holds you tight through the tough times now, and who will hold you forever. Hallelujah. And he says, son, daughter, don't give up. Acts 14, verse 22 is not up there. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And we wish it said cherry pies and snow cones. But others have gone on before us, and their faith inspires and informs us. But everything they've gone through, Jesus preciously says, but remember, guys, they're not perfect without you. Turn to each other and say, without you. Church, let's run our race. Let's finish our course. And we'll all celebrate in Jesus together. Remember, please remember, something else, or someone else rather, might be watching you as you go through your times of suffering. Someone else is seeing how you respond to Jesus when it's a tough time. No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter how heavy those barbells may seem to be in life, you can show them what walking with Jesus is like. You can show them what Jesus is like. You can show them that it's not the world, its trinkets, its philosophies, and its toys that satisfy. John 3, or 16, verse 33. In the world, Jesus said, you have much tribulation. But I have, say it with me, overcome the world. You're part of a big church. You're part of a big family. You're part of the heroes in the Hall of Faith. And we've got some fantastic examples to see us through. Those of whom the world was not worthy. As we close, I'm going to give you one little picture that I think is remarkable. Sometimes we think, I can't get ahead and I can't do better because my circumstances aren't great. Nobody really knows. You know the old song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody really knows. Nobody really gets it. And I'm confident that that's really true. Nobody does fully know exactly what you're walking through. But Jesus does. And Jesus will allow you to bloom, to blossom, and to grow right where you are if you'll allow Him. Would you turn the lights out, Dan? Just like this tree. How can you do it? I can't grow on that ledge. There's no soil there. And water couldn't even get to me if it wanted to. The Lord knows how. Thank you. You turn the lights on, Dan. Church, the Lord knows how to take care of you no matter what your situation is. The Lord knows you and what you're going through. Let's be those of whom the world is not worthy. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? Heroes in the Hall of Faith. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to take time to meet with Him, we don't rush out. You don't have to rush out. Take time. If you want prayer, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you. We believe in that. And we believe the Lord's presence is with His people. How many know that's true? Do you know Jesus loves you this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Though our topic may not be positive and vibrant with excitement, yet it's deep and profound in its meaning for us. Lord, we thank You that we get the privilege of being Your people. And when times are great, we'll rejoice. And when times are tough, we'll rejoice. We want to be those who walk with You, of whom the world is not worthy. Bless Your people here today as we go out with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.